This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom, and what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
You're listening to the IT in the D Show.
Where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
I used to hang out at the Magumbo Bar. It was a rough place, the seediest dive on the wharf, populated with every reject and cutthroat from Bombay to Calcutta. It's worse than Detroit.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bum hole?
Exactly. Come on.
What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the show.
Hi, this is Ralph Macchio, and you're listening to IT in the D Show. Wax on, you know what.
So yeah, you have no boots.
No.
You have no gloves.
No.
You have no hat.
No.
You have no scarf.
No.
You have no scraper.
No.
How long have you lived in Michigan?
All my life.
You, sir, are an idiot.
I don't care.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie, and you're listening to IT and the D.
Yes, Sensei!
Are we at a break yet?
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT and the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Here, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey, I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear, that's a fact.
Hello, everybody, this is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. I'm a techie, I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT and the D.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
It's just too big. It's way too big.
Really? Should we talk about this?
Tag team it. Should I keep going, or should I stop?
We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Magumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guy. Ho!
My name is Michael Zapsik from AMC's Comic Book Man. You're listening to IT and the D. Comic.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Live from Podcast Detroit, this is the IT and the D Show. We're all the way at episode 122, hanging out in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy, as always, here with Dave the Geek. Nuri the FNG is in the house. Find us online, itandthed.com. Give us a like on the Facebook. Follow us on the Twitter. I think we just got an Instagrams. And do us a favor. If you are on iTunes, leave us a review. I think we have 12, and it's still not acceptable.
I keep waiting for a Snapchat so we can ask our people to send us pictures on Snapchat.
We're not going there yet.
God.
We tried the whole...
How do we reach these kids?
We tried the Periscopes, and we didn't like it.
Yeah.
We do have a couple great guests. We have the chairman of this year's National Kidney Foundation Ball. Patrick Ruggiero is going to be in the house talking about an awesome charity and to try to put us to shame at what we did this past Thursday. And Long time hasn't been in the new studio yet. We have Jeff, the other White Mead Haas.
That's all lies. All lies.
You've
don't
been
you
here.
Remember my puppeteering?
Oh, my God. You did the puppeteering.
This is like time number three in the new studio.
It is.
At least.
And you can catch Jeff.
He ruined and distracted us for an entire show. Mm. That's basically
you can find Jeff at DavePhillipsIsMySecretary@gmail.com.
A true story. And I do respond to emails at that address.
It actually works.
But my wife actually said, good, if I ever need to get a hold of Haas, now I know how to get a hold of him. Because they were in here on Sunday and saw the across the bottom of the signature board. That was yes. That was
but perfect. Hey, real quick, if you are buying holiday presents like I did this year, I had to send all my aunts and uncles out of town the typical crappy bouquet of flowers with the three candles, right?
Is it bad if I haven't bought anyone Christmas presents yet or no?
Well, here's the thing. If you have not, check out Harrys.com. We talk about them all the time. It's our favorite gift. Yeah, thanks for that softball there, Neri. It's totally stressful buying gifts if you can't, obviously for people out of town.
Is it inappropriate to play the That's What She Said card when she's here?
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. But hey, if you're a secret Santa for a coworker, if you don't know what to buy for somebody, Harry's is a phenomenal kit. We've been using them for probably about 9 months right now. The shaving kits are phenomenal. I use their new travel kit. They sent us a Christmas package. It looked like Loot Crate. I mean, I honestly didn't want to throw the box away. It felt like a Shinola box to me.
I was so happy. I was using a different razor brand. Basically, there's a shave club that makes off on being cheap. I went and I found their maker, and I bought a bunch of razors, and I've been using them for a year, and I got the kit from Harry's. I'm like, holy shit, I am stopping using, and I threw out all the rest of the crappy razors I had, and it's been so smooth and perfect, and that people can attest to it.
But they actually bought, like, this is the type of company that bought the razor manufacturer right in Germany. They're not OEMing garbage. They're not. These guys have their hands.
They make a really high quality product.
They give a ton to charity. Yeah, it's an amazing product. Do us a favor. The shaving kit's the starter kit. It comes with a razor, three blades, and some shaving cream. You're going to get $5 off. It's literally $10 if you enter promo code ITINTHED5. That's lowercase ITINTHED, the number 5. $10. Free shipping. Literally takes 20, 30 seconds to place an order. A great customer service.
There's Red 5 standing by.
Red 5 for IT and the D5. I'd rather them do Red 5 for the coupon code. But I think economy shipping ends December 18th. Do us a favor. Act now. Harrys.com. HARRYS.com. Promo code IT and the D, the number 5. Seriously, I didn't shave this morning, but I should have. But, you know, the razors, I think I go through one every 2 weeks almost. I mean, they're phenomenal blades.
I was going through like every week with the other razors that I had. So this is, yeah, it's like Turkish.
So we got to do last week.
So you can, well, no. You can't hear it, but I've got the Imperial March playing in the background.
Why?
Because it's the Star Wars countdown.
Oh my God.
Days.
Is it?
Days.
Thursday.
Days.
What kind of bribery will ensue to teenage children that are in the in the movie theater when you've waited and wish to go get cocktails?
So the backstory there. So episode 3, you know, we bought our midnight screening tickets because what we do. No, it was 3.
Okay.
And so we went and I stopped by the theater at like lunchtime to pick up the tickets, and they already had like lines and ropes and all kinds of crazy crap.
Were there like pup tents set up?
Yeah, and dude, this was in like Novi.
Ugh.
And so I get up to the ticket counter, and I'm like, hey, what up? And she was like, oh, we're opening the theaters at 6 o'clock. I'm like, for a midnight showing? She was like, yeah. I'm like, all right, give me my tickets.
No way.
I email these guys, and I'm like, all right, look, guys, here's the deal. I know the game plan was we were going to meet up at my house. We were going to hang in the basement for 5 hours and get hammered and then go see it. Well, so minor change of plans. The theaters are opening at 6. So we get, you know, we go and we get to Champs, which was in the same parking lot as the movie theater, hang out for a little bit, have a couple drinks. We go over and we're like, well, we really ought to go find our seats. Because, you know, they've opened the theaters are open. So we go.
Were they assigned seats or was it?
Oh, no. Okay, this was GA. So, yeah, general admission seating. So we go and
find GA.
GA. And so we find a row of seats, and there's like, what, 8 of us?
Mm.
And there's a row of high school kids that have like all brought like their books and they're studying and that kind of stuff. And so finally, after like 20 minutes of us going, this sucks, and it's just, this will not stand for 5 hours. It's just not going to happen. I lean over and I tap one of the kids on the shoulder. I'm like, hey, look, so here's the deal. The grown-ups need to do some more drinking. So we're going to go back across the parking lot to Champs and drink more. If we come back here and our seats are right here, there's $20 in it for you. Half of them jumped, and there was a whole row that half of them jumped up, jumped back into our seats. They're like, see you in a couple hours, we're out.
That's brilliant. Absolutely
brilliant. And we came back like at 11:30, and they were still sitting there like working on their homework, doing their thing. We got up, like, hey, that's $20 I ever spent. Thank you. Life's good.
Yeah, so we have 4 tickets for the 7 o'clock show on Thursday. No assigned seating. And I'm not looking forward
to get there at like lunch.
I probably will.
Taking Thursday off.
I'm bringing 4 of my coats. I'll bring my Scotty vest, my cheap plug. I'm going to just lay them out because that's the rule of your coats on it. It's kind of like when you're on vacation in Mexico. You have to get up at 5 in the morning to put your towel on the seat at the pool so you have a spot. Otherwise, you can't sit anywhere.
It's like that person in the parking lot who basically sits there and turns their blinker on. It's basically the same
and
thing.
And sits there for half an hour. Yeah.
Or I cannot, and it just happened, the parking lot stalks you. Like as you're walking out of the store and they decide that you're the person they're going to hone in on and follow because...
This guy. I know he parked close.
Like, you just ooze close parking spot or something. And they just creep behind you. And you, no, don't...
You turn around and then you start walking a little faster and the lights go out.
You know what I do? I drive around the... Start hearing the theme music from Christine in the background. I get to
Somerset at 8 in the morning and I get like right up in the front spot. And then then I go have lunch and then I sit in my spot with the reverse lights on for about 3 hours.
On December 23rd.
I don't do that. Yeah.
Dude, I went to Somerset the other day. Like it was 9 o'clock in the morning to get my Apple Watch fixed. And it was like the most pleasant experience ever. I ended up walking around for an hour with a doctor waiting for the Apple store to open. It was the craziest thing.
Weird.
Anyway.
Great story, Nuri.
So there is so much to talk about with Star Wars. We'll get back to Star Wars later. We really should dive into Thursday night because we had a phenomenal event on Thursday night over at Falling Down Beer Company. You know, our annual charity drive that we do for the kids with Operation Kid Equip. Could not have asked for a better turnout. Could not have asked for a better crowd. We had a couple of shows here from Podcast Detroit, the Five Gears show, and the Detroit Beer Press crew that did their shows live and actually sounded really good. I listened to the recordings, and I was stunned at how well it went.
There's a guitar guy playing and me yelling on the microphone.
Well, yeah. Well, and, dude, and Kevin killed it.
Dude, oh, my God.
Dude,
like every song I was singing along to.
And not just because we were drunk. He just did really, really good. I mean, that helped.
Right.
But not just because.
Well, and then you got out of this year without getting slapped, which I think is the biggest
win. I think you owe us an immense thank you. Because that is Bob. It's completely attributable to Bob and I not pursuing.
I don't owe the two of you a thank you. I owe everybody else a thank you.
Jeff,
because we didn't have to resort to stunts to raise money.
Yeah,
no, as we say that we're collecting money to get Dave slapped publicly, everybody seems to have cash readily available.
What about 50-50? No, I'm out. I'm tapped. When I can see Dave get slapped?
Yes! Well, I got $20 for that.
Right. Well, that's been the last couple years where, like, so I mean, this tradition started years and years and years ago. And the last couple years, it's been I get a little toasty and start feeling a little cocky and safe because the crowd's thinning out and I figure I'm safe and I've made it through the year without getting hit. And then they start feeding me shots and say, hey, you're going to get slapped this year? And inevitably, the ego comes out and I say something stupid like, yeah, you go ahead and you pull another $500 out of this crowd, I'll go ahead and get slapped. Last year it took, what, 11 minutes?
I think that was the... Proving our point that when Dave is up to get slapped, people just have extra money.
But I think we ended up with about... You know, for just our little goofy event, like $2,500 in cash.
Well, yeah, and thanks, to the Brad Snyder and the Undercard crew for coming out with the Ring Girls. It was Liz and Sarah and Kirsten, if I recall correctly. And even they said they had never pulled that kind of money out of a crowd for a 50-50 before. The 50-50 was over $500.
I've never seen that at bowling alleys. So it's like, what? Are you kidding me?
It incredibly stunning.
I mean, we can't stand up to the money that the National Kidney Foundation.
Oh, yeah, we were feeling all high and mighty until he comes in here and tells us how they pulled down $650,000 at their ball. Maybe we need to have a ball.
Right, I think so.
Can we call it Bob's Ball?
Yes.
Balls are always swinging.
That sounds like a totally different charitable organization, though. Better than BC. Like Lance Armstrong might be in charge of that Dundee.
Right.
But no, so I mean, it was, and you know, falling down was great. I could not have asked for anything better when it came to, you know, and that was the really nice thing is all the first timers that were there that were like, oh my god, this food. Like, we keep telling people and they don't believe us, and then they actually go there and eat, and it's ridiculous.
And then I had three Angry Beavers, and then went out with Matt Thompson from CBI to Ferndale, and
right,
it was a long night. It was a good time.
See, I stuck with the clusters, but I had like 10.
And it turned into a cluster.
But if you have not been there, it's on 10 in Naquinder. It is one of the, it's honestly one of the better. It's a couple IT guys, took the buyout, started a brewery, couldn't be.
Well, and they do it right. I mean, it's not, like I said, you know, it's not just great beer, it's great food. You know,
they make damn fine craft beer, though.
Yeah. You can't go wrong. I mean, even people I know that don't like beer found stuff they liked. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it was the Cluster, which is a cream ale, so it's a little lighter, or the Vampire Bunnies that's got the cherry flavor to it.
The only thing I have against them is they won't take any of our names that we come up for any of their beers.
And they're worried about copyright infringement. And
Luke, I Am Your Lager would be an amazing beer.
Carbonite Kolsch.
Right, exactly.
And we had a whole bunch of them, and they do nothing.
Garbage. But honestly, for anyone that we didn't read what we wrote, or thank you. We sincerely appreciate it. We got awesome feedback.
Well, and Neil came out and dropped, you know, $500. We had Nuri with the matching donations that went up to $520. So,
but Michael, the guy that runs Operation Kit Equip, I mean, the guy basically took an oath to poverty. He puts all his time and effort into helping out like poor kids in the city. I mean, he's the king of charity as far as I'm concerned, because he's blood, sweat, and tears involved.
Well, and he lives it. Like, he has people, like, he, you know, moved. His house is now down in like Nowheresville, Warren. He said they go through, they're giving out about 2 tons of food a week now, and people just show up and it's his house. It's where he lives. That's their base of operations. He's got people showing up all hours of the night, you know, whether it's, you know, looking for, you know, food or a place to crash or something like that. And it's, I mean, he walks the walk. He doesn't just talk the talk. He does really, really great stuff.
I'll give money to those guys all day versus like a United Way. How much is going to the charity? Oh, 7% goes to research. Great.
Yeah.
40% goes to overhead. And
right, yeah.
Yeah.
Our CEO makes $2.4 million, but, you know, right? No, this guy does it right, and I'm proud to be affiliated with him. I you know, the work, what we do pales in comparison to the work that he puts in all year, so.
Well, yeah, exactly. You know, we swoop in for one night and do our thing, and, you know,
have helicopter pat our backs. And
they do. I mean, for those that are interested, I mean, they've got the event on the 20th that they're still looking for volunteers for. In fact, they're looking for even more volunteers because after our event, they expanded the number of people that are coming to it. So, I mean, it's, you know, the giving away all of the toys, and they're running like a hot meal thing for a lot of people in the area for the day and that kind of stuff. So they are at operationkitequip.org. You can still donate. The donate button is up in the top right-hand corner. So feel free to throw some additional cash their way. They are a 501c3, so it's all charitable. Nice little end-of-the-year tax write-offs, that kind of stuff. It's a good thing. But, yeah, so they do have an event coming up on the 20th, which is, I believe, next Sunday.
Sunday.
That's the day Sunday. Day after your party.
Yeah.
We're all going to look great.
It's not going to bode well.
Gonna look like The Walking Dead.
Right.
The soup smells fantastic.
But yeah, so again, operationkidequip.org. Give them a shout out. You know, take a look and see if you can be there on the 20th to help out. Do
awesome. But yeah, thanks again to everybody. It was. I'm always floored every year when we can get people together to help out. But yeah, good times. I look forward to next year's already.
So speaking of Walking Dead, I loved this story. There's a guy who put up a zombie nativity.
What?
Because he's a special effects guy, and he does like haunted houses and that kind of stuff. And so he wanted to put up a nativity scene, but he wanted to use the stuff he has. So he has like zombie baby Jesus.
Zombie baby Jesus.
You know, the zombie wise men. He's got, you know, like it's a full nativity, and he's got the manger and the one, but they're just all zombies around it.
Oh.
Well, the town does not approve.
Where is this town? Is it?
I want to say it's in North Carolina, if I recall correctly. I'll dig it up and make sure I get it tweeted out. But so the town was not amused, and they told him they were going to start fining him $500 a day because it was an inappropriate display. Huh?
On what grounds?
Because it was an inappropriate display. The technicality was it occupied more than 30% of his yard.
So did it require a permit or something?
Yes. And so the zombies need to reduce
their footprint. Yes. Is basically
so he went
the
to get
here.
The permit, and they declined him the permit.
Too many in the neighborhood this year. Sorry, bud.
Yeah. So they started fining him $500 a
year. Deer Park, Ohio.
Ohio. Okay.
Another reason to
That's not at all shocking.
No.
From the people who declined legalized marijuana brings you.
Right. But yeah, so you're not happy about the zombie nativity. So, I mean, do you see, is it still up? Because he had taken about $1,500 in fines the last update
as
I saw.
As of Friday morning, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
It's still up as of Friday morning.
So just stupid. Like, you have nothing better to do to worry about in your town than the guy that's a special effects guy that wants to have a little fun. Like, I think that's awesome.
I think that's less distracting than the clowns that put up 372,000 light bulbs on their house.
Because let's be honest, Jesus was the first zombie.
Oh, you went there.
Died.
You went there.
Died, came back to life 3 days later, Jesus, first zombie.
So in a striking sense of social media relevance, my buddy posted this today on Instagram, and it says, the world has gone so crazy that if a zombie apocalypse happens, there would probably be zombie rights activists.
I would not. That wouldn't surprise me. There'd be some college kids demanding a safe place for the zombies and to talk about zombie
probably
issues.
True. PC
and, yeah.
Zombie Bro?
Yeah, exactly. PC Zombie Bro. Yeah,
why
absolutely.
Not?
Awesome. And for the gamers out there, I'm playing Fallout 4. And,
is that good?
It's phenomenal. And there's the synths, which are the robots, kind of like iRobot, the mm-hmm. Will Smith movie. And there's an entire group for the protection of the fake robot people. Yeah, so when you said that, it immediately sparked that, like, oh, yeah, there's activists in video games now for fake robot people. Yeah.
Wait, video games have activists now?
Yes. Yeah.
This is why we can't have nice things.
I know. They need safe places, too, apparently.
Speaking of zombies or people as intelligent as zombies, did you guys see that story in North Carolina where the people are afraid of solar panels?
That's not real.
It's totally real.
It was reported by the local paper.
It's the retired science teacher who said that solar panels steal all of the sun's light and would keep any plants from growing anywhere in the town.
There's no way that's real.
Is your statement based in fact, Bob?
No.
He's hoping. No,
that it's a plant from, like, the anti, like, the from the other side. Like, just to make, like, so now they can, like, blame the Republicans.
It's a false flag operation, Bob.
The whole Republican is one guy.
It's a liberal false flag operation, Bob.
It was a town of Woodland, North Carolina. It was
I was thinking of North Carolina, yeah.
So then RT picked up on it because they love to pick up stories that, you know, stupid people in America
because right.
they're Russian-owned, right? And then everybody else picked up on it as well. And the great thing was that the retired science teacher said that there's a lot of cancer deaths in the area, and no one could tell her that solar panels weren't causing cancer. It has nothing to do with the average age of smoking in Woodland, North Carolina is 12.
Right.
It's the solar
and
panels.
And you're one of the main tobacco-producing states, so it's, yeah. Genius. Yep.
And it's killing the plants. All the plants are dying because of solar panels.
Mother of God.
I don't want to live here anymore.
Well, and then talking about, and this isn't even necessarily dumb people, but just people that you want, that deserve a good smack upside the back of the head. Like, so it sucks to be a landlord, apparently, even more than we thought, because guy rents out three-bedroom apartment or three-bedroom townhouse, stops in to check in on things, discovers that the tenants have turned that three-bedroom place into a 10-bedroom place.
This is in the Bronx, mind you.
Yep, in the Bronx.
Just 8 minutes from LaGuardia, 20 minutes from JFK. I looked it up.
And rented them all out on Airbnb.
For 20, so I did math, and he was getting
illegal subletting. It's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, but he was getting 25 a night from these guys. So if you get all 10 of them at 25 a night, it's $7,500. Right, so the guy's renting this three bedroom for $2,500, and he's grossing $7,500 a month. That's a pretty damn good business.
If it weren't for the fact that you're not allowed to do that to someone else, what would you do?
Mildly illegal.
What would you do if you went walking into your townhouse and your tenant had gone ahead and divided that place up into 10 different bedrooms and was letting Jesus knows who stay there for $25 a night.
You know what I did the last time that happened.
And that's what this guy did, though. He came in, and they had put up drywall, and he basically tore all the drywall down. He's like, you guys can't do this.
And then so what did they do?
Well, he locked him out, and then they went and sued him, right?
And won.
Because he had been illegally
evicted. The tenant sued the guy and won the right to get back in there and put up the little plastic part. They couldn't put up walls. Because walls, you can't make permanent structural changes.
Yeah, but subletting's illegal.
But they could put... but apparently not so much in the Bronx with the places and the things.
Do the stuff and the
and
thing.
And the things
thing.
And the... But you tend...
Like, get the papers, get the papers.
Papers, get the papers.
I'm going to build the rooms, build the rooms. Huh?
So he put up curtains. And I think for $25 a night, we should all go take a different segment of that and have really, really loud sex. Because for $25 a night, I would love to see their faces.
Or just, I want to feed Bob, like, a gallon of draft beer and about 40 Slim Jims. And then just rent one and just leave. And
we should just have Bob's Christmas party at this place.
and then just leave Bob in one of them, and then just it would clear the place out.
That's what I love the thought process. Nuri, loud sex, Dave fart. I'm gonna crap on the floor.
We have our priorities right, guys. We have our priorities.
Totally, like, the thought process of the three of us.
What's wrong with spreading holiday cheer? That's what I say.
Mother of God.
Are we? What else can we talk about before we get out of here?
Well, we are coming up against a break. So we've got, and this is even another New York story, not that far away from the Bronx, and I want this here. Why is this not here? Amazon, 1 hour delivery of booze, beer, and wine in Manhattan.
An hour?
In an hour.
What?
Bam, it's at your door.
Which isn't that groundbreaking for Manhattan.
No, it's not.
I lived around the corner from a place that would, within 5 minutes, bring me up a bottle of Jaeger if I called them. But just think, if you're having a giant party and all your people are coming and you're out of booze.
I was going to say, if you live in an area of Manhattan that doesn't suck, you should be able to walk to a place in less than 12 minutes and
lazy,
buy a
bottle. But you got
to
leave.
I get laziness. I understand laziness. I'm a laziness advocate in most cases.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I told you I ordered all those flowers and all the crap for my family in Chicago. And I ordered gift cards for, like, my little cousins and all that. And they go, would you like it delivered today? And I had to read it twice. And I'm like, wait, what? It said, if you click here if you want it delivered today by 8 p.m.
Yeah, like, that can happen?
Right.
And the pricing is crazy. For an hour delivery, it was $8. And for 2 hours, it was no extra free if you were a Prime member. So think, if you're throwing a massive-ass party and you don't want to go grab the 80 bottles of vodka and all the champagne, you just set it for 2 hours later. You're home. You're cooking things up. You're cleaning whatever. And then ding-dong, Amazon's at the door.
And you got, like, you know, the UPS guy that just, you know, did the 5-floor walk up to your place and wants to kill you with the 30 bottles of
booze. No, but you remember
I hated my 5-floor walk up. I did.
You remember when we were talking about creating, like, Uber for food, right? Where, you know, come over and eat at my house, like, the extra food, like, the sharing economy thing.
Yeah, I love it.
Did you see their Uber Eats?
Is that when they'll drop food off, or what happens?
They will drop, Uber. It's Chicago right now, and basically they grab menu items from local spots, and it always changes, right? So it's a typical menu night. Like, our menu tonight is this. It's a fixed menu, and it's the same. It's cashless payments, just like the same. It's on an Uber app.
That's brilliant.
But, here's where lunch and dinner, and you got two different restaurants, either, you know, one side of town, the other side of town. They'll grab two or three things from... right here I'm looking at a place from Jack Melnick's. There's from Arazu. There's like two items from like three different restaurants.
Now, if I get like Girl and the Goat delivered to my apartment, I'd be totally happy.
Oh, yeah.
Chicago. Oh.
Italian beef delivered.
Is that like the name of a place, or do you literally want a girl and a goat?
Please. One girl and one goat, 15 minutes.
Anyway, we're not here to judge. I'm just asking the question.
It's a place called the Girl and the Goat, and it's ridiculous. But, yeah. Delivery?
I'm not going to a place called the Girl and a Goat. I'm just saying.
You bring really bachelor parties.
Right. We're here. No, it's not that kind of place. Damn it.
That's
really have no shame whatsoever.
It's the new commercials.
And we go to break.
Yeah, speaking of, we'll be back at the break. We got Patrick here, who's the chairman of the National Kidney Foundation. This is the ITVD show, and we will
of
be
Michigan.
Right back. Of Michigan.
Yeah.
Not in general.
Yeah.
No, I know he's from Michigan.
Okay.
He lived down the street.
Okay.
From Michigan.
You're from Michigan.
Hit the break button.
IT in the D. Read. Meet. Listen.
Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D show.
Welcome back. We're still live in Podcast Detroit. This is the IT in the D show, episode 122. Can you believe that, Dave? We are sitting here in beautiful Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy, always here with Dave the Geek. Nuri, the FNG, is in the house. Find us online, itnd.com. Give us a like on the Facebook. Follow us on the Twitter. Hit us up on Instagram and give us a review on iTunes. It would be greatly appreciated. We are back.
We are.
And better than ever. Oh. But Patrick is here. Patrick Ruggiero, who's the... you know what? Before we get to Patrick, we got some quick business, and I got ahead of myself.
Yes. We got so excited about Patrick.
I did.
But this episode of IT in the D is brought to you by Braintree, because developers around the world have embraced the Braintree V.0 SDK as the easiest way to add secure mobile payments to their apps and websites. No matter which payment type you use, Braintree takes it, whether it's Apple Pay, Android Pay, PayPal, Venmo, credit cards, even Bitcoin. And if something new pops up, we'll support that too. It's the same payment solution used by Uber, Airbnb, GitHub, Grubbable, and many more, so you know it scales and works large for no matter how big your app is going to be. Mm-hmm. Integrating into your app is easy as inserting a few lines of code and customizing the color and the look, and it seamlessly blends right into your app. But don't take our word for it. Try out the sandbox and see for yourself at BraintreePayments.com/IT, lowercase IT. Once again, BraintreePayments.com/IT.
Nailed it.
Practicing for my voiceover.
Love us some Braintree. Now, we'd like to get to our esteemed guest tonight. We got Patrick Ruggiero here, who's this year's chairman of the National Kidney Foundation of Michigan's Ball. And
it comes to us from, speaking of loving people, we did our friends of the program, CKC.
Right, right. Obviously, yeah, CKC, friends of ours from Motor City Comic Con, introduced us to you. And yeah, way to make us feel like we're schmucks in the fundraising business by dropping that number. Like, oh yeah, we just raised $600,000.
Yeah, yeah, did a little event for you, event. Yeah, raised $100,000. Yeah, a little one.
You kids are cute with your 4,000.
When you grow up, you may have a real event.
But Patrick, thank you for hanging out with us. We appreciate the time.
Well, thank you for inviting me to the show. I appreciate it and appreciate to get the Kidney Foundation some additional exposure. And I guess thank the sponsors, and like you just did, it's a very important component to it.
So talk to me, what is the, you know, the mission, at least the Michigan chapter, what does the National Kidney Foundation actually do?
Well, they make chili, a lot of chili, kidney beans,
different kind.
I quoted that all off topic.
No, the National Kidney Foundation of Michigan is one of the most recognized and accomplished foundations in the country. As a matter of fact, Charity Navigator rated us number one charity in the country.
Wow.
And it goes to the point you just made a little bit earlier about how some of these charities you don't like giving to because 90% of the money goes to other than what's supposed
Yay,
to
go
to.
Yay, I bought a pink NFL jersey and 2% goes to something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the rating that the Charity Navigator gives is based on how the money is applied to the cause, the different programs. So we're about 90%, 90-plus percent of the money that's raised goes to services and programs for kidney disease, chronic kidney disease. So that's a huge factor in all of this fundraising.
So what kind of services and programs? Like what's
awareness? I mean,
for those of us that are completely clueless.
Okay. So, and kidney disease comes in many forms. The main one is diabetes, right? A lot of people have diabetes that ultimately have kidney disease. As a matter of fact, that's what my dad passed away from about 7 years ago, from complications from diabetes. His heart went before the kidneys did, but they were all going bad. And then you've got high blood pressure and then obesity, which affects a ton of people in this country. I mean, just in Michigan alone, we've got 900,000 people with chronic kidney disease. That's a lot.
God.
It's almost a million.
Really?
It's astronomical. And there's like over 3,000 people waiting kidneys just in Michigan alone. I mean, the numbers are staggering. And in our lifetime, one out of three people have kidney disease. So it's a serious problem.
Wow.
Especially with our diet, you know, the American diet. We eat more than we need to, and we exercise less than we should. So.
But even then, I know kidney disease impacts people from all walks of life and socioeconomic status. So one of my very, very close friends had polycystic kidneys, yes. And he luckily found a family member to give him a kidney, and he's healthy and well. But, you know, he's just super normal, super healthy 40-year-old guy who had stage 5 issues with his kidney.
It touches everybody.
It does.
I mean, it doesn't discriminate, you know, whether you're white, black, Hispanic, Italian.
Rich, poor,
rich,
right,
poor,
yeah.
Man or woman, even children. I mean, it's unbelievable how many children are born with either genetic kidney disease or some other form of kidney disease. Even one of the factors that went into bringing the event this year to the Motor City Casino was our the chef there, the executive chef, Scott Stromer. He is a kidney recipient.
Really?
He has kidney disease. He had it diagnosed like 20-some years ago, 24 years ago. He lived with it for a long time, and then one day it got so chronic that he needed a kidney. And ironically, like 3 of his sons or kids, I think they're all boys, were a match for him. But his wife said, no, you're not taking one of the kids' kidneys. And so she went and got tested, and unbelievable that she was a perfect match for him. So she gave him one of his kidneys. And, you know, you talk about real love, right? I mean,
hey, really, you can't divorce her ever after that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
How are you going to battle that in court?
Yeah, right.
I want my kidney.
There you go, Dave.
He's the executive chef at Iridescence, right?
Yes, he is.
Oh,
he's the whole property. He's got like $50 million in sales there. He takes care of all the restaurants. He's a phenomenal guy. Cooked for like 7 presidents. Very accomplished chef. So as a matter of fact, he auctioned himself out that night for a dinner. I think it was for 8 at Iridescent Wine Dinner, you know, no holds bar, everything you can think of. He's going to cook for it. I think we got like $8,500 for that auction.
Wow.
We did really, really well this year.
That one item did better.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, I ate there because I won an auction from Yelp, actually, I think.
Yeah.
Really?
I had a free tasting dinner at Iridescent.
Beautiful place.
It's
spectacular.
Oh, my God. The food is incredible.
It is.
So good. Sure.
No, I got to introduce this whole thing. We had a guest on early on in our show that just out of the blue, she found out somebody needed a kidney, and she was a match, a complete stranger, and just gave one of her kidneys.
Wow. Amazing.
And so she's been a part of this thing for, I think, what, 10 years she's been doing this. And that's what my eyes kind of – like when you say how many people have chronic kidney disease and all that, it doesn't even register to me. Unless it hit home,
right,
you don't know.
And that's usually the case with most things, you know, and kidney disease is one that most likely in your lifetime will hit home, whether it's you personally or somebody you love, one of your kids or one of your parents, or it could be anybody.
Well, one out of three, right?
One
it's
out of three.
It's going to be someone
it's
you
huge
know.
Numbers,
close.
Huge numbers.
I'm good.
And we're living longer.
Are you good?
I'm good.
And Bob, you're...
One out of 3 men have...
We're going to get him in to see the nephrologist this week. So.
Right. But, I mean, so what does the foundation do? Are they building awareness? Are they looking for cures? Are they all of the above?
All the above. Building awareness, a lot of programs to help people manage their diabetes, manage their obesity, manage their high blood pressure. Tons of programs, very good quality programs. We do the kidney walk at the zoo. There's a run we do out in Northville at, I think it's Mayberry State Park, which is a beautiful park. Do a 5K and a 10K run, walk. Again, build more awareness. A lot of great programs. Again, because we've received a 4-star rating for 8 years in a row by Charity Navigator, it's just elevated the level of recognition the foundation has received. And this
but
year,
it seems like they don't get, like, it's not publicity. Like, you don't see it on the news.
You
like
don't.
You, do.
You know, I was just going to say, like, this is one of the few times where I'm not throwing the shenanigans flag on raising awareness. Because, like, we've had this conversation before where, everybody knows about breast cancer now. Everybody.
Yeah.
There,
yeah.
You don't, there's no more awareness. You're good. Funnel the money to research.
Right.
I had no idea this was like this.
And, you know, since joining the National Kidney Foundation a few years ago, I had a friend of mine. We have a mutual friend who's a little 8-year-old daughter.
And before anybody yells at me, my mom died of breast cancer, so kiss my ass. Just saying.
I'm sorry to hear that. But you know, that's an interesting point. That's why a lot of these foundations that have so much awareness, it's because they spend a fortune doing that with these billboards
right.
and TV commercials. The Kidney Foundation has been very conservative in their approach. And so we're trying to get more awareness, but we're trying to balance that so that those numbers stay right. And, like, you know, you don't have a situation like the United Foundation you mentioned earlier, where a very small portion of the money actually gets to the cause. So it's kind of a balancing act, because you need awareness, because you want people to know what's going on.
Right.
So they open up their wallets, their purses, and their generosity to contribute, like we had that night of the kidney ball, which was last Saturday. I mean, to raise almost $650,000 that night was phenomenal. We had over 800 people there.
That's unheard of.
Yeah, we filled up the house. And it was a black tie event, so it was you know, it was a real nice
thing. That's like $8,000 a person. Am I doing that math right?
Yeah. 800 times 8 is 64.
But so we thought we did good raising. Stuff. We thought we did good raising $4,000 at our little brewery.
That's cool. That's good. It's a good start.
Well, then the next day we go to my office at work and we raise $72,000 for the Gleaner's Food Bank.
Okay.
Which I thought was amazing, and then that's hear you and I'm like,
you know, I mean, listen, we started at that, I'm sure, years ago before I got involved with the Kidney Foundation. This was the 11th annual, but the Kidney Foundation's been around a while. So it takes time. And you build, we have a family foundation too, in honor of my father, who I mentioned passed from diabetes, that we did an event for back in October where the proceeds all go to the University of Michigan, the Brehm Center, which is trying to find a cure for diabetes, type 1 and type 2. So we raised almost $100,000 that night. That was back in October. And again, it's only 5 years old, this organization, the Ruggiero Family Promise Foundation. And so, you know, we start out small, and we're growing every year. We're getting bigger and bigger.
All right, so we're on, what, year two?
You guys are on year two?
With Operation Kid Equip?
With Kid Equip, yeah.
So, yeah, so we got 3 more years to hit $100,000.
That's a great goal. You know, at the end of the day, though, it's sponsorships is where it's at. I mean, General Motors was very generous. They gave us a check that night for $40,000.
Wow.
When you got people like that, we got
Matt. You listening, Neil?
Right. Now you got Lear Corporation. Matt Semenchini wrote a check for $25,000. You got Myers, another $50,000. I mean, just great, you know, just good business contributions from businesses.
So now, what's your background in fundraising? I mean, you were telling me earlier you're in the restaurant business.
We are. We grew up in the restaurant business.
Okay.
And so, you know, my father and my mother, they instilled in us that, you know, we're fortunate enough to be healthy and successful, that we need to give back to the community. So we've been involved in a lot of different charitable organizations, and I'm on the board at over at Oakwood, which is now part of Beaumont and Botsford. There's an event we're doing called the Red Tie Ball. It's in the spring, and just got involved with different organizations for the last 10 years, got very heavily involved. So we've always been raising money for the Capuchin Kitchens. Every year we do one at Aldi Antonio's restaurants, which is part of our family of restaurants. And on St. Anthony's Day, which is like our patron saint, St. Anthony, for the poor, I think it's June 13th, we give food away that day at all the restaurants. So we ask just that, you know, put money in the hat, and all the money goes depending on what charities we support that year. So we've been doing that for years also.
Wow.
So
that's phenomenal. So where's your restaurant at? You're in Dearborn.
The original one that my parents, when they came from Italy in 1963, they opened in 1964, Roman Village Restaurant.
Okay.
So that's 50. We're going to be 52 years in March. And then we've got the Antonio's out in Canton, not far from the IKEA. And then we've got Farmington Hills, 12 in Halstead, Dearborn Heights, and Livonia.
You lived out that way.
I was going to say, 12 in Halstead, it's like right down the street from where I used to live. Yeah,
yeah, 12 in Halstead. They got a Kroger's in there. They got Tabbouleh's now.
I know exactly where that is then. All right.
And House of Ng is the
8th. Yeah, I lived off Halstead between 13 and 14.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's always my judge of a good ethnic restaurant, is if the people that are either running it or the people eating it have to be of that ethnicity, right?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm 100% German. If I go to a German place and you see no Germans, are like, there's something wrong. Like,
it's not a bad good.
No, it's not.
My dad was a Turkish guy running a French restaurant, but nobody knew.
Right.
He spoke French.
So what's next on tap for the National Kidney Foundation? What else you guys have coming up?
Well, we've got we're going to start getting ready for next year. You know, right away, as soon as you end the year before, you start on the next year, just kind of put things
in place. What have you done for me lately? It's a sales guy.
Oh, God,
you hit quota. Now nobody cares about last year.
That was yesterday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. We've got to look towards next year. But, we need to have a wrap-up meeting here we haven't had yet, and just to kind of pull it all together and go over things that could be better for next year's event, always trying to tweak it. So we had about 200 more people this year than last year, but close to 200, and like I said, raised about 25% more than last year. So every year we keep going up. You just got to get the right people involved. We had a couple great honorary chairs. We had Ed Pieper.
So doing this wrong.
That's all I'm hearing. It's just you guys are doing it wrong.
Where's your corporate sponsor?
He doesn't have a radio show, so.
Well, there it is.
Yeah. It's a balancing act.
No, corporate sponsorship on your radio is really the key. And then, you know, honorary chairs are great. Like Ed Pieper from General Motors, he's the head of fleet. He killed it this year. A lot of times you get these honorary chairs, and our other honorary chair was Dwayne McLean from the Tigers. He's the top guy. He was above Dombrowski.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times you get these honorary chairs that come in and they put their name on, you know, the invites and stuff, which is great, but, you know, they don't do a lot. These guys do a lot.
The old buy a table, get an award today.
No. No, these guys work. They really did. We had meetings every month at one of the Antonio restaurants, which it helps that everybody eat, you know.
Right.
But and they were very generous with their time and their contacts in order to make this happen. And that's the only way it can happen. You got to get the big sponsors. It's great to sell tickets at $250 a piece, and that's
right.
Great. We'll take all, you know.
Yeah, but you're not pulling down $650,000
just on tickets alone. You have to get the sponsors, the big sponsors, the Henry Ford Health Systems, the International Outdoor from Randy Orem gave us, you know, a huge $60,000 sponsorship on billboards across town. I don't know if you've seen them, but where are you going to be on December 5th? The Kidney Ball, Motor City. So it was really cool. He was a great sponsor. And so we had, you know, just a lot of good guys. Actually, I think a local guy here from Garden Fresh, Jack Aronson.
Right around the street,
I mean, he just, you know, his company was just sold to bigger companies. So.
Yeah, didn't Meyer buy? No, who bought that?
Kraft or somebody that
Kraft or Nestle.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they did really, really well. But he was there. He was a great, you know, he's a great supporter and a sponsor, and he was there with his whole family table. Again, people like that just showing up, Nexus Laboratories. I mean, we had a lot of great supporters.
That's very cool.
And
that's
how do you guys tackle what your goals are for the next year? How do you tee that up? And obviously you've accomplished a lot in 2015, right? Just based on what you've outlined and what you've been able to accomplish and educate for the cause, but I'm sure you have goals and targets.
We do.
How do you do that?
Well, I mean, you know, listen, last year I chaired last year's auction committee and we broke a record with that. But, you know, you just set the bar higher and higher, right? And so, I mean, there's a lot of already thoughts running through. I mean, we brought 50 amp fuse in as our band this year, which was great because they played at Soundboard.
Right.
And we got, you know, I'm sure a nice bump just from that alone because it was a phenomenal night. It was a great meal for a good cause. And then you also had the best entertainment in 50 amp fuse. We had Steve Gargiola from Channel 4.
Channel 4,
He was great. I mean, he's just, it's unbelievable how he's such a great personality on stage with this stuff. And the auctioneer we had was very good. He got the crowd alive. You know, you're pouring a lot of booze, which gets people loosened up and want to raise that paddle.
I think that was our secret this year.
Yeah.
The Angry Beaver.
Keep the Angry Beaver flowing.
Yeah.
Oh, next to the shot paddle. See, I forget all these things.
Write that down.
Yeah. Right, exactly.
Very shot important. Ski. Very important. Totally. Loosens people up.
So how do we find you online?
So, nationalkidneyfoundation.com. Just
look. I don't know if there's a special Michigan website.
No, it's on the National Kidney Foundation of Michigan.
So basically, you just said, just Google it, Bob. Just kiss my ass.
NKFM.org.
Yeah, NKFM.org.
Perfect.
Correct. Yeah, and it'll give you all the information, all the upcoming events like the walk at the zoo. And the other things, we do a Mardi Gras one on the western side of the state in Grand Rapids.
So obviously you're taking donations year-round. It's not a, you know, event specific.
Always.
Ooh, a Mardi Gras kidney ball.
Yeah, it's a kidney. It's really cool.
February 6th in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, so if you want to go over to the other side of the state and have a great time, it's
not
a great
event. Not that bad of a drive.
Yeah, wonderful event.
Intriguing.
So.
Good. Well, and where do we find the restaurants?
The restaurants? Well, we got the original one, like was mentioned, in Dearborn, in the Roman Village. That's the first one. And then we've got the one in Canton, the one in Farmington Hills, the one in Dearborn Heights. And you can get online and just at antonios.com.
Awesome.
Or Antonio's Restaurants.
Okay.
Or Roman Village. They should be on there. So.
Very cool.
Just looking at the card, I'm like, I want to go to Roman Village.
Well, listen,
like right now.
I know, right? We close at 10 o'clock, which is about a minute, but I'll call over there. Yeah, keep the doors open. Keep the ovens on. Right. Keep the stove burning.
Yeah,
and we'll go over there and have some nice pasta and pizza.
The
nice
veal cutlet, actually, is what is catching our attention down here.
But if
here.
You ever go, you got to try the steak and cheese calzone.
Oh,
it's dynamite. Most calzones. People come in there, what's that? It's like, just try it. Once they try it.
He's feeding the steak and cheese calzone and then gets you on the backside for the diabetes and the blood pressure.
I see how it works.
I believe they call that a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Patrick, sincerely appreciate the time. Anything you need from us in the future, don't hesitate to reach out to get the word out or just to spread the word. It's a great thing you guys are doing, and yeah, I wish we could help more.
Well, thank you. You've been very helpful. I appreciate the earlier interview before the event and this one here, and again, more exposure. Thank you so much.
Sure thing. Ladies and gentlemen, Patrick Ruggiero from the National Kidney Foundation of Michigan. This is the IT and the D Show, and we'll be right back.
See
ya. IT and the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT and the D Show.
ITintheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
Welcome back. Segment 3, live from Podcast Detroit. This is the IT and the D Show. It's episode 122, Monday, December the 14th, 10 days from Christmas, 3 days from Star Wars. Find us online, itandthed.com. Hit up all our social there, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Subscribe on SoundCloud. Give us a review on iTunes. And yeah, we got a full calendar of events for next year. We didn't tell you to mark your calendars yet, but we're going to be publishing it out. We have the entire year planned ahead. Go figure.
It's crazy.
I know, Thursday, it's rough to plan these things out, but we did it. And actually scheduled with the bars, and life is good.
I think King Kong is currently walking down Hilton Road.
What the hell? Nothing outside. I don't know what's
it's like on. The old Bill Cosby chicken heart routine happening.
Dave's ex-mother-in-law, I think, is coming.
Oh, nice.
Could be the junior from the local high school with a pimped-out system in his ride.
Could be. Nice. All right, so hey, real quick. So this segment, let's talk about money. So the truth is, sometimes honest, hardworking folks need a little extra, and some banks don't always make it fast or easy. I'll tell you who does, Avant. So finally, there's a company that gets it. Avant provides access to personal loans from $1,000 to $35,000 without ever setting foot into a branch. You simply go to avantoffer.com and check your competitive rate. Checking your rate is risk-free with no effect on your FICO score. You can complete your application in minutes, and the funds could be in your account as soon as tomorrow. See how easy and convenient borrowing is through avantoffer.com. Avant will give you a $50 Amazon.com gift card after you make your first payment on time. Seems relatively simple. You take a loan, you make a payment, you get a $50 gift card. Bonus, yay, life's good.
I like gift cards.
So for this offer and to check your rate risk-free, go to avantoffer.com, enter promo code TRUST. That's Avant, A-V-A-N-T, offer.com, promo code TRUST. Avantoffer.com, promo code TRUST. Now, loans are made by WebBank. Funds are generally deposited via ACH for delivery next business day. If approved by 4:30 p.m. Central Time, Monday through Friday, FICO is a registered trademark of the Fair Isaac Corporation. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
Nailed it. Didn't go fast enough for my liking, but how timely with Christmas coming up. Yeah, I could use a couple extra bucks.
Yeah, who can't?
Right. Especially at Amazon. Oof.
Oh, you can buy all the things. Everything. There's nothing that you can't buy.
Even liquor in New York City.
Well, you can't buy a Chromecast on Amazon anymore.
Uh-oh.
Because they only want their things to play with their things.
I feel like we need to dive into Star Wars a little bit. You want to talk about that?
We should.
Cue the Imperial
March. It is the cred.
Someone asked me a great question the other day. Is, and Jeff, maybe you can holler on this too. This has been religion, especially like me and Dave. Like, I went to the theater when I was 4 years old and saw Episode 4. Like, this has been a part of my life. You know, when Jedi came out, 83, I was 10. Like, imagine for a 10-year-old growing up with this stuff, having every single toy, and now going through the prequels, and now, you know, as a 42-year-old, I get to go see Episode 7. It's like, what do they have to do? You know, now it's Disney. What do they have to do?
I can bring my children to see Star Wars like my father before me.
That's my line. but what do they have to do to make it suck? Like, we were, because I think the fanboy, there's going to be a few people that are just going to go, ah, stupid J.J. Abrams, dumb.
Lens flare.
But what do they have to do to make it suck? Because here's me. I think it could be Jabba the Hutt farting for 2 hours, and I'll be standing up in applause. Like, it'll be the most amazing movie I ever saw. But there's going to be people that hate it. Like, what do they got to do to make people hate it?
But please don't let it be, yes. Oh, for 2 hours. Please, no.
Oh, that'd be the most... I want to write that. That'd be great.
This is also before Jar Jar Binks, right?
No, this is after. This is after Jedi.
But, okay, Bob, in that regard, how do you categorize episodes 1, 2, and 3 versus 4, 5, and 6?
See, and this is where Bob loses all geek cred whatsoever.
No,
Bob,
it's not geek cred. I'm allowed to like things. It's not, you're not in the club if you like and not in the club if you don't. I liked 1, 2, and 3.
No, 2 and 3 we have no issue with.
I think it's trendy to hate episode 1.
But see, here's the crazy part, and I think I've shared this with you before. In all honesty, full disclosure, I've never watched episodes 1, 2, or 3. Because it's part of, like, my childhood that I have put away in this place that I don't want it screwed with and toyed with. And I get that it's the prequel part of the story.
So Machete Order.
I'm sorry, again?
Machete Order. So there's a guy that came up with the Machete Order for watching the movies. It is, you watch 4 and 5, then you watch 2 and 3, then you watch 6. So you watch A New Hope, you still have the shock of I Am Your Father in Empire. Spoiler for those out there.
You blew it.
But then you go back and you skip over, because there's nothing in one that matters. Nothing. So you just don't watch it.
Darth Maul was cool. Those scenes were great.
He had 18 seconds of screen time.
Those scenes were phenomenal.
It goes to 2, where you start getting the you got the clones, the important part of the story. And then you got 3, where, you know, you wind up with, you know, Obi-Wan standing over Anakin, who's all burning with lava, saying, Annie, are you okay? Are you okay, Annie? And then you jump back to Return of the Jedi, where it, like, wraps everything all nice up in a neat bow, and the cute little Ewoks are eating stormtroopers that they've killed, and, you know, it's all good.
But, I mean, so to this point, like, sitting here and watching the previews for Episode 7,
yeah,
it looks cool. Like, it looks like a badass movie. And it's something that I want to go see. I remember, however long ago that was, I don't want to date myself, but I didn't have this burning desire to go see episodes 1, 2, or 3. I really didn't. But watching the previews for episode 7, it looks badass.
See, and here's, like, so this is my biggest fear. So the dork side is strong with me.
You don't say.
And so I remember everything from before episode 1.
Yeah.
And I was still running Echo at the time, and, like, everybody was hosting the trailer, and just the bandwidth was through the roof, and it was nuts, and our page views were ridiculous, and everybody was so excited. And then you had the things, the troop carriers coming up over the hill, and communication disruption can only mean one thing: invasion. And then you had
Raspberry,
and then you had the Maul with the double sided lightsaber, and then you get there and you watch the movie, and the coolest stuff in the movie was in the trailer. and then Jar Jar.
So what are your expectations for episode 7, Dave?
Don't suck.
That's your decree, but what are your expectations? Are you going in praying that you're just not getting let down? Or
yes.
What's the deal? That's where you're at,
yes,
with it?
To me, this is a blind date that's not really, like, it's a second blind date with someone you went out with a couple years ago, and maybe it didn't work out, and you're going to give it another shot because you really liked them back then.
Here's where the fanboys unite, Jeff. When we left, I remember leaving episode 1 with this man next to me. And not once did he go, that was a turd. No one said it was a turd until the fanboys got together in their little club. They decided we didn't like Jar Jar, and then they decided to poop on the entire
mother of God.
From the old free press article, are you kidding me?
Dave Phillips from
my Bill Gates ish shot. Yeah,
that's, put that on Twitter.
You're gonna need to send that to me because that needs to be the avatar for Dave Phillips is my secretary at gmail.com.
Mary dug out a picture from Dave from back in those days. But no one left the theater then going, it was a turd. It was when the fanboys got together and decided that it was going to be, that we were going to hate episode 1 no matter what.
I'm sorry, please send that image to Dave Phillips, his secretary at gmail.com.
Jeff has important business to handle here. No, and it's, so don't get me wrong, like the pod race, I did. I liked the pod racing
scene. Pod race was great. Darth Maul was cool.
I thought, but then I balanced that against Darth Maul was a wasted character.
Completely.
Because Darth Maul should have been in 2 instead of Dooku. And so it's the it's that knowing that it was a wasted character that kind of colors that. And then, yeah, Jar Jar was kind of dumb. He just was, you know. And so I'm hoping. But this is what I'm trying to balance that against.
He was a Sith. You know this.
Well, yeah. So this is what I'm trying to balance that against. Like, I also remember, you know, some of the disappointment I had when 6 came out. And it's you know, when Jedi came out, it was – that's when it really became more about the marketing and the toys as a strong, strong component to it. And so in that
– Because it's not now, Dave.
No, but that's where it started, you know. And so
– This is where Star Wars fails right now. Because it's gotten out of hand.
Dude, they have... You can buy Star Wars bags of oranges, for the love of God!
Oranges, apples, and grapes.
Wait, Yoda, no, they're Yoda grapes. It's like you're buying little containers of Yoda balls.
I can't listen to the radio for end-of-year Dodge Ram commercials without hearing a reference to Star Wars.
I'm not going to lie. The Chrysler, the Fiat commercial they came out with where they're driving down the street and they got the one... like tricked out Avenger or whatever it is with the big scoop and then all and
they don't
it's
build
black
an Avenger anymore.
Whatever Charger. And they got all the white ones behind it, like all the stormtroopers and the Imperial might die nerd.
No,
out.
There's something that commercial break. The Death Star waffle maker, keep going.
Walk into Target. Just like you walk into Target, everything is.
Walk into any store. Every store is
Star Wars
headquarters.
Star Wars the everywhere.
There's so many Star Wars headquarters that the Imperials could have found the Rebel base now because it's everywhere. It's Meijer. It's Target. It's the fruit stand. It's all things.
I'm kind of waiting for Star Wars feminine products, you know, for that time of the month where you join the dark side.
So we were at Star Wars night at the Palace for watching the Pistons on Saturday. I mean, it doesn't...
We did that a couple years ago. I wasn't that impressed.
Well, let me throw the caveat down. So I went Christmas shopping this weekend. I was buying gifts for everyone and anyone in my life.
Right.
And I walked in the Apple store just to check out a few things. And there was a kid that was probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 years old. And he had an iPhone in his hand that was teed up to whatever the latest droid toy is that'll roll around on the floor. And this kid was... mesmerized, right? Uh-huh. And I think
Dave and I have one of those.
Absolutely,
I'm just being cool. Serious.
Just full disclosure.
Yeah.
So, to a certain extent, I think part of it is that notion for kids age.
That's
right?
What I was getting at. Is that I have to remember. That's what I'm trying. It's not.
It's for not
me.
For you. It isn't.
It's not.
And that's
for the
what you have to try and divorce
it.
Yourself from. Yes. It wasn't made for you,
Jeff. Did you
now.
See the Jeff, here did you see and the now. Saturday Night Live commercial? It was a Star Wars commercial for all the new toys.
Oh,
that, and it was like the little kids are playing this. With the toys. Like, I'm Han Solo. Pew 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 pew. I'm Chewbacca. And then the guy goes, well, I'm a 42 old man. It keeps it in the box. So it's like the whole thing went back and forth.
And the kids playing with the Millennium Falcon, and then the older guy rips it out of his hand. He goes, no, that's not how it lands. It lands like this. And does the little jet effects.
And then the old man, he's like, you got to buy 3 of them. One to take out of the box, one to keep in the box, one for just in case. And they're basically just, the guy's got a display case. The kids are all just having fun. But it's become a tale of two.
He called it Doug Vader, really.
Right.
Was it like this? I mean, I wasn't around when the original movie opened.
Yeah.
Was it like this then? Was it the same? The marketing push was?
Oh, it was close.
No. Dude, back when Star Wars came out, no. No, when A New Hope and Empire came out.
Oh, no, when we were kids, no.
Yeah, no. No, but see, that's my point. So when Jedi came out in 83, that's when it really started.
They knew us by the... Yeah.
Yeah, and so when you had The Phantom Menace and that stuff come out in the, 99 on 103, it was all about... I mean, it was on. And so that's where, a lot of people got stupid, is they were like, oh, well, all the original Hasbro figures are worth kajillions of dollars on eBay. I'm buying all of the things. Well, guess what? Everyone bought all of the things, and so all of the things that you have in your basement now are not worth anything.
Dave, I watched a Pawn Stars, where it was all Star Wars edition, and some guy brought in, he goes, my mom bought all these, she used to keep stuff in the packages, and it was all these pristine figures, Han Solo, Leia, Luke, Darth, and there was a Jawa, and it's like the one Jawa figure.
Yeah.
He fetched $8,000 for that sumbitch.
Dude, it's crazy.
$8,000. You can buy a Fiat
for
that.
The stuff from round one is so valuable is because everybody was so into it as kids that they played with the stuff. They
exactly.
took it out of the
There
package.
Wasn't the concept of collectible toys.
Yeah, exactly. So people played with the toys, and whoever had the presence of mind to set one aside and not use it is reaping the benefits. Dude, there are none left.
I thought my friend was smart for keeping the box. Like, he would put the box in the basement, and we would still play with the toy, right? But then you go in the basement, and it was all empty boxes, which is, again, I'd rip the thing open, throw in the garbage. Who cares? You know, but again, everyone's buying everything now. Like, if you look to, like, I remember when Star Wars night, at midnight, like, there's stuff everywhere.
But even that, because we were, where was I? I was at St. Cece's downtown at the art show. Not the CNC Music Factory.
Oh.
But Tad, and a couple of other guys were going out to do, the lineups outside of Toys R Us and Meijer and all that stuff. And I'm like, nah, I had enough to drink. I'm going home. I'm not going to go stand in lines. So what happened? I woke up, the next morning. I went to Meijer at, 11. And I'm reading all the messages on Facebook about people being bitter and cranky and angry because, obviously, the Toys R Us workers had hidden all the best stuff for themselves and that, then, that. And I walk into Meijer at 11 o'clock, and there's, an entire, aisle of all the things.
Then Dave gets a text from me going, "You want a BB-8?" He says, "Absolutely."
Yeah.
So,
but all right. So here's an interesting question for you, because now we've entered an era of political correctness, right? And a week ago, 2 weeks ago, all the rage in the press was Carrie Fisher has come out and said it's absolutely ludicrous that Disney has come out and said that the Leia bikini has been banned, right? And additionally,
you want to sell more stuff? Ban it.
But the divisiveness of society on stupid things. I mean, so there's an African American gentleman in the preview. Oh my God, how is this possible that we didn't have that in
Lando?
Like, everybody is picking stupid nonsense.
Han told Lando to take care of Leia. I mean, gee, what do you think is going to happen? Dude was saying
the carbonite for years, man. Billy D had the Colt 45.
There was a woman today that said that went off on Darth Vader was the bad guy because he was black, and then when he became good and knocked his mask off because he was white and he was secretly, which is metaphor for secretly all black guys want to be white. And we're like, are you kidding me? Like, you pulled that one out of the Star Wars.
Thank you, Black Rage synopsis from Chasing Amy.
Right! Right! I don't think she saw Chasing Amy. That was the problem. But people look into
turning things that aren't kids movie issues, right?
Yeah, it's a kids movie.
It's a movie. Turn off your brain and have fun.
Yeah, actually, last month there was the it was Black Stormtrooper was the hashtag that was trending.
Yeah, exactly.
Because of the rage
that
was
crazy.
Yeah,
it's a TIE fighter pilot. Did you watch Tim?
I saw the preview.
Right? No, it was in the originals.
Did people know that James Earl Jones was the voice of the original Darth Vader?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I think it was funny. He was supposed to be Scottish, and then
he was just
well. No,
voice.
It was Dave. So Dave.
Sorry, okay.
So Dave Prowse is the guy, and this is one of the most bitter, angry, cranky men on the entire planet. Dave Prowse was the guy in the suit, and nobody could understand him because his accent was so heavy, and they wanted something with a little more weight to it, and so they brought in James Earl Jones.
They didn't want Darth Vader to sound like Shrek.
Exactly. Luke, I am your father. No, it didn't work.
You know what's funny?
Join with me. The whole galaxy is father and son.
That's actually pretty awesome. I would watch that. I would totally watch that.
Did you know Chris Farley was supposed to be Shrek and they scrapped it? And there's tapes that just got released.
Oh.
Of Farley doing it and it would have been so not that it would have been so much better, but it just would have changed the whole landscape of that whole movie. Anyway,
if only Eric Stoltz had been in Back to the Future.
That would have been awful.
But also, we are so we're mere days away from D-Day. It is, because I'm cautiously optimistic.
I know exactly who's going to bitch on Facebook that it sucked. I know there's 8 people I know they're going to it's going to suck. They could give you gold plate, they could gold plate your poop and serve you grapes from topless Brazilian models, and you're going to go, sucked, didn't like it. Seriously, there's just people that are going to
that aren't happy unless they're bitching. It's true. But it will. It'll be I'm hoping, and it is, and this is one of the, because we've had this conversation before. I loathe movie theaters, loathe them. It's not that I hate the movie; I hate people in movie theaters.
Do you hate it when people clap for the movie at the end? Because something about that just makes me like so angry.
That's great.
Having people make you angry?
No, it's like, who the freak is listening to you clapping? Is like the people who made the movie in the other room, like secretly waiting for you.
The ushers.
I guess. Anyway.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, because
you went to Titanic, Nuri. That's the only reason why.
Yeah, he was the guy that, you know, as soon as the opening credits ended, the boat sinks.
Right.
Hey, so question, in a homage to wretched consumerism, have you used the Star Wars cookie cutters that I got you, Dave, or
ages
you, Bob,
ago.
For your birthday presents years ago?
Ages ago.
You only used them once, or
no? I know we pulled them out with the kids.
Okay, good. I'm just checking, Bob. No response from you on this.
Did they get stored away? Those.
Yeah, I got them for both of you, clowns.
No, but I think you took both of mine. I think I remember that night vividly. Like
you remember, you don't remember two nights ago.
Yes, I do.
But and then from the crass, you know, commercialism in one of the parts of the movie, that's they've got what, like 8 trailers attached to this one,
because
they know that we'll just sit there waiting for the damn movie to come
out. Look at the baby.
I know I'm going to see the movie probably at least 3 times this weekend.
Yeah,
so I got to take my kids. And I'm probably going to go by myself so I can cry without getting mocked. It's beautiful.
Only if the mask gets ripped off and it's Jar Jar. That's
cry Loretta is Jar Jar. You know what? I'll call it right now. I'm going to take my pants off and run a lap out of the theater. That's how happy I'll be. Like I can't. I'll be able to run finally, pantsless. There's nothing they could do to make me not like it. I said yesterday when we were hanging out with those guys, I go, I watch freaking Judd Apatow movies for crying out loud. How bad could this movie possibly be when I watch those turds of movies?
I sat through Black Hat. I can sit there.
No, I didn't. I couldn't.
Oh, you caved? You pulled the ripcord on Black Hat?
Bad.
I watched that whole entire wretched piece of crap.
Oh.
Hour and a half of my life I'll never get back.
No, the train wreck movie. I sat through that crap, and I paid for it. Again, how bad could this be? It'll be amazing. It'll be great.
So should we plan on rushing here to the studio after the movie?
No.
To do it? No? Okay.
How about we podcast in the theater?
I think the most hated people on the planet are going to be people that run spoilers, like, when it comes out.
Oh, it's 7:01.
Yeah.
I'm posting on Facebook.
Right.
Luke's dead.
It's going to be like those memes that are going around with the fake mechanic stuff and the fake...
Oh, yeah. Bagel in the center stabilizer hole. Yeah.
I heard somebody like today did one for guns. It's like, if you want to silence your weapon, just put 3 small drill holes in the side of your barrel. It's like some clowns in the garage with a vice grip. Did you see the ones like where you put screws in your tires for
better traction?
Gription.
Yes. For gription, yeah.
That's what the tires are. Gasoline residue off from around your gas cap was another one.
What was it? Coolant, antifreeze isn't actually good for the radiator in the winter, so you should fill it with water.
Right. Yes. So pour hot coffee on the windshield.
Boiling water.
Boiling water.
To get the ice off your windshield as fast as possible, boiling water.
And there's people that put the screws in the tire. Like,
because Facebook told me to.
Right, exactly. It's Darwinism. You go to the small bus and get the hell. Move to Canada.
So real quick, before you break, because I think we're getting close to that, do you think this is set for monetary records in the theater?
$1 billion weekend.
It has to be. I was chatting with Nuri about this earlier. They've actually done the math, and in order for this to break even, it has to make $1.5 billion.
It'll make 4. No, it'll make by the time it's all said, it'll make 3.
See, Avatar was like 2.7, Titanic was 2.1, Jurassic World was 1.6.
Oh, it'll make 3.5.
I'm sure it's going to make at least 3.
Avatar, that movie's a turd.
Avatar?
That was awful. So stupid.
Furious 7 made 1.5. I mean, Star Wars has to make at least 1.5.
Yeah, the drooling masses will. Yeah, no, it's going to make three.
Well, and you know why? Because it'll be the people. It'll be like us that go see it three times opening
right.
weekend. Yeah,
like the chicks that saw Titanic. Because
Bob has to cry once. He has to take the family, right. And then he has to go with the boys. So
I went to Mad Max by myself. I'm not proud anymore. I don't care.
Wasn't that that was after Comic Con?
I went. Exhausted, hungover. Like, I'm seeing Mad Max at opening night, god damn it. And I'm sad by myself. No, that was the best story because I bought the assigned seating, Jeff. And I go into an empty theater and there's one gentleman in the second to last row in the back, right in the middle. And I go up to the row and it's double J, whatever, and it's like seat 14, and it's right next to this guy. So I sit at the end of the row. And I must have gotten up and moved my seat like seven times before
everybody else right. kept coming and kept going, pushing you closer.
So I finally went, I go, I got the seat next to you. I'm sorry. And I just sat down. I sit right next to the guy. Hi. Like,
my name is Bob.
That's the downfall of assigned seating.
We're going to be movie buddies today.
Yeah, exactly. I share my popcorn. I bought candy. So, hey, are we coming back for four?
Yeah, we got a whole bunch of stuff
we got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. This is the IT in the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, guys, it's Timog, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D show.
Welcome back. We are sitting here live at Podcast Detroit. This is the IT in the D show segment 4. It's Monday, December the 14th, episode 122. Hanging out in Ferndale, Michigan. This is Bob the Sales Guy, always here with Dave the Geek. Nuri the FNG is in the house. Find us online, itinthed.com. Give us a like on the Facebook. We post stupid memes. And, of course, with Star Wars this week, it'll be ridiculously stupid.
We'll be posting all the spoilers.
Oh, yes. That's what we're going to plan.
701, right?
701. That's 701. Right. Follow us on the Twitters at ITND, hashtag, all that good stuff. And then leave us a review on iTunes. Even if you think the show sucks, we'd appreciate it.
So I feel like we have to – so for those that have listened for a while, a recurring topic on our show is Uber. And Uber is in the midst of a class action lawsuit right now. And they have decided that they pushed down a 21-page agreement to all of their drivers, basically trying to say you can't sue us if you want to have anything like that. It has to go to arbitration. And so, of course, the people behind the class action lawsuit are now trying to immediately have that 21-page agreement nullified. But, I mean, think about it. Like, so we know a couple of Uber drivers. Are those guys really going to read a 21-page agreement?
Am I going to read a 2-page agreement? No.
Even worse, they have, like, 30 days to opt out of it with this process. Otherwise, it's binding. It's like Jimmy John's making their sandwich makers sign non-competes. It's freaking ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Never understand. I don't get it.
It makes me want to go drive a cab.
Yeah. Well, it's not like they don't have issues. I mean, and it's like stuff like this comes out and they take another PR hit. It's not,
I think I told you the other day, I don't know if we talked about last week or not. There was almost a 4x surge around my house just on Friday. I didn't want to drive.
Your house?
Yes.
Yeah.
4X.
Yeah, wait until your Christmas party. Pretend they don't see that coming.
Right.
It's going to be like an 8X surge.
Right. I understand like Ferndale at 3 in the morning, down by the casino at 3 in the morning, but...
No, girl I used to work with, her brother caught Uber home on the biggest bar night of the year, night before Thanksgiving. Right. Would have been a $10 ride normally, and she posted the photo of it. It was $96 and change.
Wasn't that Patrick?
Got hit with
from
that.
The Rensen to right here in Ferndale, and it was $100 and some odd.
Yeah, I think I got hit with a 4X on opening day coming back, and what should have been like a $30 ride was $100.
Jeff, I was in Dallas. I was taking 20-minute rides for $9. Like,
it's expensive. Here.
Right.
It's 60 cents a mile. It's ridiculous. I mean, the federal reimbursement rate for, like, expenses is only 56 cents a mile.
Right.
So I think Uber's like probably even super cheaper than it should be. But I mean, the Thanksgiving the night before, we were hit with a 2.4. I think.
Yeah.
Coming out of the Hastings Ballroom at.
Well, I get here's the thing, Nuri. I'm, you know, the guy's showing up in 8 minutes. I'm getting home proper. I call a cab company. He's showing up in an hour and 15 minutes.
If they show up.
If they even show up. Right. So, I mean,
you're
I don't mind.
For convenience.
Yeah,
right?
I don't mind spending a couple extra bucks.
But it can get a little gougy.
Yeah, but then it's principle at that point.
Yeah.
Does Lyft do that? Does Lyft have price surging?
Yep, they do.
Okay. All right.
Well, and what's interesting is, you know, so I talked with the guy because I took the Uber from Logan Airport up to my hotel in New Hampshire. So, I mean, again, 45-minute ride, $60.
That's wow.
Yeah. But I was talking, he's like, whenever I see surge, I leave the area.
I had a driver tell me that just this week, too.
Yeah. He's like, because it's going to bring all the idiots in. And he's like, and it's going to leave a whole lot of other areas open. And he's like, while they're there worried about trying to pick, you know, fighting over that one fare, he's like, I'll pick up six.
And the driver I talked to said that surge pricing means lower reviews for her.
Yep.
Which I don't understand.
Well, yeah, because there's got to be a lash out against the driver. Right, wrong, or indifferent.
Yeah, because you're not mad at Uber.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I should say you are mad at Uber, but you're not rating Uber.
But everybody vocalizes that against the driver because they're like, oh, I got shifted. I was, you know, the fact of the matter
one
is
star.
It's the man that's screwing you, but nobody views it that
way. Well, you know how much the surge is, right? They make you type the freaking numbers in to acknowledge that you're paying surge. I don't know.
You know what they should do is there should be a breathalyzer built into your phone. And if the number you blow is greater than or equal to the surge, they should eliminate the surge.
I like it.
I like it. We'll call it surge roulette.
Yeah.
Challenge accepted. Challenge accepted.
I just had a business idea.
Let's take this one offline.
No, because if you're 0.20, then it's a 2x surge, and if that's the only way it surges.
If you're sober, it's almost free then, which is like
no, it's not free. It's normal.
It's
normal
price. That's right.
Oh, that's good. I like it.
Get taxed for being drunk. I like it.
But the more you drink, the less you care, right? It works.
That's profiling, Pop.
I don't care.
Speaking of startups with problems, did you guys see that thing in Seattle where the company will lend you up to $10,000?
Swan Love.
To have your wedding.
To have your – I don't know if you can really have a dream wedding for 10 grand.
No, not anywhere around here. Right?
But, yeah, you can have your
– Pizza Hut maybe.
Yeah. But, yeah, so they'll give you up to 10 grand.
And then they analyze your relationship with a survey and basically determine the risk of your loan or basically of you breaking up. And we'll give you an interest rate based on that.
Right.
So if you're going to stay together for longer, of course, you're going to have a higher interest rate.
But if you get divorced in 20 years,
you got to pay it back.
You have to pay it back with interest.
Yep.
That's the gamble.
That's kind of crazy. I mean, I met my soulmate, though, and we're going to stay together forever, so this is such a good idea.
Well, but then again, look at it from the flip side. What are the odds that, you know, you get the money from the startup? Most startups are going to flap in like inside of 2 years anyway. So then you don't have to worry. Then you can get divorced. You don't have to worry about paying the money back.
It's like a casino for marriages. I kind of like it, though.
Nuri, I have to admit, the twirling of the pull strings for your hoodie really added a whole new dimension to that. And unfortunately, none of the listeners really got the benefit from it. But I appreciate it.
I have the,
Where's Periscope?
Yeah, he doesn't have the hairless cat to stroke as he's plotting his evil plans.
No, but the business model, 50% of marriages end in divorce.
It's a good gamble.
They've got the right odds. They do. The house is going to win.
Right.
The house always wins.
And then, especially the longer those marriages go, it's actually quite brilliant.
So, and then another of our favorite topics, drones. So the FAA has decided they're not screwing around anymore. And
register all of them.
Mandatory registration for all drones greater than a half a pound in weight and less than 55 pounds in weight. Because I guess if it's over 55, there's already a commercial registration, yada, yada, yada.
So do I have to register the Millennium Falcon and X-Wing I bought for my kids?
Probably.
Really?
If it's more than half a pound?
A radio-controlled plane.
Like,
RC bag of chips, plane.
Bag of chips more than half a pound.
The stuff you and your dad flew back growing up, your RC planes now have to be registered.
Yep.
It's like having an IN number on an aircraft. It's crazy.
Yeah.
You have to actually write your drone number on your drone, carry proof of your registration as well. And if you don't, it could be up to 3 years in prison and $250,000 of penalties?
It's ridiculous. I can't and I am. I'm on like the drone hobbyist mailing list and a couple other things. I'm because that just came out today. I'm waiting to see the backlash and uproar over that because I mean it's kind of stupid because it is. I mean you go and you buy the Millennium Falcon, you know, to screw around with the kids, and the you know the stupid giant inflatable shark that you run through the air and all that. And it's they're all over half a pound.
All over.
So theoretically they all fall into that category. It's ridiculous.
I like to see how many they registered. They're offering free registration until it's like January 15th or something. Yeah. And then is it $5 a year? I mean, it's not expensive, but are people going to go?
But it's the principle.
Totally.
Yeah. So
come find me, bro. That's all I want to say. Come
nice.
Find me.
With my little Millennium Falcon with my kids.
Right.
And then we actually talked about the predicate to this last week. We were talking about, you know, you can basically rent a bot army to go argue things for you. And then we just
– How much?
And it was, what, $2? $2 per bot per day?
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, the fake bot. I thought you meant the thing we were talking about with Jer.
Oh, with the rent-a-crowd?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can rent protesters for $10 a day.
Right.
That was outstanding.
We're not going to protest. I wonder how much it costs.
Day? Dude, I'm so mad. And now that – God, I wanted to go and hire protesters to be outside of Falling Down carrying signs that were like, you know, I had a good job at Budweiser, you craft beer bastards. you know, and, you know, craft beer putting macro brew out of work. I totally forgot. I failed.
I just want to do the PCU thing. We're not going to protest and just have that hashtag we're not going
to
protest.
We should figure out what it would cost to hire them like at like a bulk rate. Like could you just like for the entire month of January, I want 10 of them.
No, we used to always talk about hiring
marshes.
We used to always talk about hiring.
It's only $10 a day. It might have been $10 an hour.
Yeah, right? an hour or whatever. But we used to always talk about hiring mariachi bands to follow us around whenever we like make it big and just go walk around the day, just have our theme music play behind us. But like, I think this one's better. Have our protesters following us, so when we go like walking bar hopping, going into forehands, there's like 30 people going, "We're not going to protest," and everybody's like, "The hell's going on?" Like. And then the news covers it. We got to send out press releases. Like
the protesters who aren't protesting.
IT and the D announces we're not going to protest. Like, what are you guys protesting? We're not.
At 7 bars again this week.
We're not going to protest. That's what we're trying to say. Like, what do you guys want to – we don't want to change anything. That's the point.
We don't want to buy anything that's been sold or processed.
No.
We don't want to sell anything that's been bought or processed. But then stumbled across the – what is it? It's the subreddit simulator, where basically the people that have built these bots have their own subreddit on Reddit.
Zero human interaction allowed.
Yep. And it's just the bots going back and forth at it, like testing out their algorithms. And it's
which kind of scares the shit out of me, right?
It's creepy.
It's basically, I mean, just think about how many regular posts that we see on the front page of Reddit have been upvoted or downvoted because of bots.
Right.
All of them.
And that is basically a testing area for them to continue doing it.
Yes.
Oh, then the comments, too, are paid shill. Half of them are paid shills. That's been proven already. People are presidential campaigns are paying people to sit in rooms trying to sway public opinion. Like, and here's the thing that gets me is, where did you figure out it works? Like, for crying out loud.
Yeah, have you ever honestly changed one person's opinion by a Facebook post?
You know, I was going to vote for Trump, but I was reading, you know, buttplug_69 on Reddit was saying that Bernie is going to give me some stuff, and I'm changing my mind.
I like stuff.
I like
butt plugs.
Formulate opinions.
I'm so glad you didn't say I like butt plug.
That would have been nice.
That was me. Right. Speaking of butt plugs, did you guys see the new Tumblr site?
Oh my God, I love the GOP dildo Tumblr.
I'll let you guys go on that one.
It's hilarious.
How hard do you love it?
Not actually very hard because it's a little floppy in play. But so what they've done is they've taken all the pictures of Republican candidates posing with guns.
All your favorites. Like all your Rick favorites. Rick Perry and Bobby Jindal and Ted Cruz.
Oh, and then some of the greatest hits. You know, they've got Sarah Palin. And they've photoshopped.
Yeah,
and they've photoshopped out. Dude, if it was liberals, you'd be all over this. It's hilarious. It's the photoshopping of pictures that's hilarious.
I'd be offended if it was liberals.
Sure you would.
They should probably make trading cards. Just so
But yes, they photoshopped out the guns and photoshopped in some cases, really, really outlandishly large dildos.
Like Trump has a gigantic 6-foot double-headed one?
Yes.
That's massive. My favorite.
Wait a minute. You know what I just remembered? I didn't send you guys the link to. Did you see what the new outrage is at Starbucks now for the holiday season?
Oh, the polar bears.
The polar bear, the throat slit polar
they
bear.
They made these polar bear cookies with little red scarves, but the little red scarves look like, because they drizzle it on, looks like the polar bear's throat's got slit.
Oh, God. I just pulled it up on. Oh, God.
Now there's a huge backlash.
Poor polar just bear.
Starbucks is continuing their war on Christmas by slitting polar bear's throats.
Well, even though there was only one person offended by the red cups.
Of course.
You know, but the cookies, though, this one took everyone over the top.
As if you don't go buy animal cookies and eat the head first.
Yeah, everybody bites the head off.
But not vegetarians.
What do you... That's so going to be isolated right there. Soy, vegan, non-GMO,
1050,
genderless gingerbread person.
Wait, do you get to order gingerbread person cookies when you go to your soy store or whatever the hell you buy your shit?
Like, they're just amorphous shapes.
Right.
It's the blob.
No, I went to...
They're non-gender specific.
Every tree is beautiful. Every tree is beautiful.
Oh, God, because that was the... and you know what? And God bless Reese's for handling that the way they did. It was brilliant. People were, like, opening up... Because, you know, they have the eggs at Easter and, you know, the Reese's peanut butter cups, and they do the trees at Christmas time. And people were opening them up, and they don't really look like trees. They look kind of like somewhere between... Like, someone took the egg and smushed the egg and maybe made it a little wedge-shaped...
Triangle with a stick on the bottom.
Exactly. Right, yeah. And people were, like, you know, they were blasting them on Twitter. They were hitting their Facebook page. And so Reese's fought back with the all trees are beautiful hashtag.
Brilliant.
Which was... outstanding.
Well played.
And it was all trees matter and all trees are beautiful. And it just, a win on social media by a company by just not caving and not kowtowing and not apologizing.
I went to a coffee house in Ferndale and they have a nice cup of coffee there and I like it. And I wanted to, they had some baked goodness, yumminess. And I went up to it and as I got closer and read the sign, everything was eggless and vegan.
You're at Red Hook,
like,
aren't you?
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
And
coffee.
I asked them, I go, do you have any like fat options? Like, do you have any like extra butter like options? And they said no. And I got angry.
One star.
Right, totally. They didn't cater to my
went
like
to a vegan coffee house.
I'm Yelp hating on you.
They didn't have extra gluten.
It didn't
bacon.
Say. Can you get extra gluten in your stuff? Because I want to open a restaurant. The extra gluten bacon.
It'd be called glutinous
bacon. Just bacon
or gluteus maximus.
Gluten for punishment.
Are we done yet? I haven't done that in a while.
We actually are about done. So, yeah, I mean, as we said, again, just to wrap things up, again, thanks to everybody who came out last Thursday out at Falling Down. Phenomenal event. You can still hit OperationKidEquip.org and donate. They do have their event on the 20th where they'll be handing out, in addition to all the stuff we gathered for them, some other donations that they've gotten at an event. Volunteer, by all means. They need them. They need a lot of them. In fact, they need more of them now because we donated enough money that they went ahead and raised the headcount on the event that they're having. So, yeah, OperationKidEquip.org and check that out. We do have our entire calendar of events scheduled out for next year. We'll be publishing those in the coming days, basically as soon as I get around to doing stuff. Yeah, because I'm kind of tired after this week. I'm not going to lie. It was a long 4 days. It was the event and then the Kit Kat and then the drinking with the neighbors.
When did you go to the Kit Kat?
That was Friday night.
Whoops-a-daisy.
Yeah. Because there were bad decisions. That happens.
There's always bad decisions when the Kit Kat's involved.
Yeah. But yeah, so we'll have all those out shortly, and we do. We've got another great show next week. We've got another show on the 28th, so we're down to the last two for the year. And then we'll be coming back strong in 2016 with all kinds of wacky mayhem.
Are you done yet?
Episodes 123 and 124 to wrap up the year. No, I'm going to give a Stan. Oh, is it Stan or Kyle that's been giving speeches on South Park?
I don't know.
Bob's all done now.
I thought you were going to give a filibuster for a minute there.
Yeah, no.
Only episode 5.
Segment 5.
No. Even I have no energy for segment 5. All right, so this was episode 122 of the IT and the D Show. You can find us on itandthed.com and IT and the D, all of the things. We thank you, as always, for listening, even though we still have no idea why the hell you do. Bob, do your thing.
Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home.
You just got to get the hell out of here.
And let's not forget our new favorite drop. Shut up, Nuri.
Shut up, Nuri. Get it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of your women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over! Nothing! You just don't turn it off!
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so...
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill! You need to cool that shit out! And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the camp.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, warn the truth. Ohms. 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 Ohms.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy. Shut up, Mimsy.
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right. Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up. Are we at a break yet? No! Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now.
I love this city. I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.